The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Mike, look at this picture. Let me tell you. You don't want to get in the ring with one of those guys.
Neither
I'm
going to
tell you who it is.
I wouldn't want to get in the ring with any four of them right now.
But just look
at those eyes. Yeah.
I'm thousands of miles away, and that scares me. Right there. I'm showing...
You're a boxer. You shouldn't be scared.
I'm not, but I don't... I would... He's fighting for other reasons. He's fighting for something. He's motivated by different things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing the boys here the stare down between Alexander Usyk from Ukraine, one of the reigning heavyweight champions, is a stare down against Anthony Joshua with the fight announcement. In the rematch, he beat Joshua in front of like 90,000 people in England. And so now the rematch... And because Usyk had to postpone the first rematch because he decided he's going home to the Ukraine, right, to help his people. And so then the president of the Ukraine decides to say, you know what, you can do more for us to help. What's the word I'm looking for?
Inspire the people. You know, give them something to help
motivate.
Pride,
if you can go,
you know,
and take
civic pride, all that.
Take our flag into the ring and fight for us and represent us and show the world what the Ukraine is all about. And you know, you're the heavyweight champion. You know, so it's true, right? I mean, that can inspire.
He's a beast too.
Those are the things like we talk about when sports are. Mean more than just a game or a fight, right?
And
I'm just showing you, like, Joshua's like, hey, everybody.
Yeah, look at my arms.
Usyk, like, Usyk just looks like he's going to do something.
He's picturing awful. Vladimir Putin's face over his.
There you know? Go. Maybe.
I mean, seriously, you know, that's...
Right. Now, that's, I will say this.
When is that fight?
August.
August, okay, so we still got some time.
Yeah, the only thing I can tell you is sometimes emotions can be very difficult to deal with if you carry those into the ring.
Yep.
But Usyk's had so many big fights and was such a decorated amateur and everything else, I can't wait for this. It's going to be August 20th in Saudi Arabia.
Ooh. Okay. It's the day before Big Steps.
Oh.
Easy to remember that.
You can have a hell of a weekend. Mike Boddicker, good morning. How are you?
Great.
Did you stay up to watch that
Not
whole
all
game?
Of it. Not all
what
of it.
What did you... When Marco checked out, the Royals led 5-1, and so
he
missed a few things.
He gets here a lot earlier than
but
I
it's
do.
But it's just I like
he gets here in all of us.
I was just curious. What
I tell
say.
You what, I like really wanted to shut it off when Heasley had a 6-1 lead going into the sixth inning, and he walked the first two guys.
Well,
and I went, oh, this is a disaster right here. You know, Ohtani went, oh boy. Okay, it's a game again. I mean, you just can't walk. Well, what happened was the Angel hitters were so aggressive. They were swinging at balls out of the zone. And he had a good changeup, but he couldn't locate his fastball to save his life. But they were swinging, and his changeup was good, and he used it really well. And all of a sudden they said, no, we're not going to swing at that anymore. And I went, oh, you're in trouble, kid. Oh, boy, you're in trouble. And two walks and a bomb, and it was they're right back in it.
All right. Royals won 12-11.
Yeah, it was
in 11 innings. But again, I got to go back to what we started with, Ohtani.
Yeah, if you're going to walk somebody, walk Ohtani. Don't walk the other guys.
Two RBIs. Walk Trout to get to Ohtani in the ninth, too.
I know Trout's good, but Ohtani's just as good. So you if you're going to walk people, walk Trout and Ohtani. The rest of the team, I wouldn't worry about them. There's so, nobody there that scares me.
This man had 8 ribbies last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know.
Barlow hit off Barlow.
That thing, that was an absolute bomb. I mean, that's
like the ballad of the Angels, though. Trout or Ohtani do something superhuman, and then they lose.
Yeah, exactly. They have zero pitching, and Ryan said it last night. They haven't had anybody pitch 100 innings for 10 years. 100 innings.
What?
He said last night, you go back 10 years, the Angels have not had a starting pitcher pitch 100 innings.
That's got to be wrong.
That's what he said last night, which doesn't surprise me because they have had zero pitching.
The fact that they could have Mike Trout and Ohtani on the same team would be 5 games under .500. I mean, it is what makes you believe that stat.
Yeah, but did you see their pitching?
That's what I mean. It's like you can only be 5 games under .500 with those two guys in your lineup if your pitching is just
it's just horrendous.
Out loud.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we won a World Series with Ripken and Murray. You know, that's pretty much
right.
That was what we had, right. But we had pretty good pitching.
And pitching, yeah.
Yeah. But with Trout and Ohtani, I can't believe they're still there. I if they're not going to get any pitching, I'd say, you know what, get me out of here. If you're not even going to try to get any pitching.
Yeah, I mean, he had to have met 200 innings because Ohtani had 130 last year.
Oh, that's true. Ohtani's pitches.
Right, so it had to be 200.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's bad.
Does anybody pitch 200 anymore?
Mike Boddicker.
I said anymore.
How about that?
That's a whole different time. Everybody's
reasonable nowadays still.
It should be, but it's not. Back when I pitched, that was pretty normal. I
tell you what,
10 straight years of 200 plus.
They didn't have anybody pitch 100 innings in 2020.
Right.
I guess that was a shortened season.
Well, like anyone pitched to it.
That was a short
anyone
season.
In baseball. Yeah.
Look here.
Yeah, that was a bad year.
Trevor Cahill threw 102.
Yeah, he had to have met
just 102 200. Though. That was their in 2019. Their biggest workload guy threw 102 innings.
No, their pitching blows. There's no.
It's awful.
They haven't except for Ohtani.
Yeah,
he threw 180 in 2000. Yeah, so yeah, 200 innings would have been the number. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
He must have meant 200.
But that's, I mean.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. And that's the underrated. I'll go back to this again. That's the underrated thing about the Royals, in especially in 2014 when they made their run and got to the World Series. If you look at any, and this is, I know this isn't in the day of Mike Boddicker, but damn it, James Shields threw 227 innings.
Amen.
Guthrie threw 202.
Mm-hmm.
Vargy threw 187. Yordano Ventura threw 183.
There you go.
And I know they had a great bullpen, but that's a lot of effing innings.
I believe it,
from your front four.
I believe it was 1,000 innings.
Yeah, and they had the best bullpen ever seen, but you can't overwork them, and they didn't.
Right there.
That tells you right there. And I sat there and watched our guys, okay, oh, yeah, they had 5 good innings. 5 good innings isn't enough because down the road, you're going to wear out that pen. You will wear out that pen, and I Stallmont last night was not good. It's just
Barlow wasn't.
Barlow
good.
Was not good. You know,
I don't know if he threw a strike to Trout, and maybe,
no.
But like, and I get, you could say, well, he's being careful. It's Mike Trout, okay? Then you hang a breaking ball right over the middle of the plate to Ohtani.
Well, the ball he hit off Heasley was fastball right down his shoe.
Yeah,
I'm going. You walk Trout to throw Ohtani a fastball right down the chute?
I know that you're mad that he walked people, but do you see glimmers of hope in Heasley?
If people swing at that. That's the issue, because he can't command his fastball. He does not command his fastball, and if he can't command his fastball, he's going to be in trouble.
The command issue with the Royals remains maddening to me. That
here's the thing, they've got the microphone in the hat, right? Tells them which pitch to throw, the little speaker, right?
Yeah.
Instead of that, just have the catcher give a signal, and have him a video or an audio of it going, command, repeat. Command, repeat. That's all you have to do. If you do that as a starting pitcher, you're going to get into the seventh inning. If you can throw the ball where you want to consistently, you will get into the seventh inning.
Okay, Eric says the stat Ryan had was for an Angels drafted player not having 100 innings.
Oh.
So they haven't drafted.
That's pretty horrible. Terrible. But you know what, like the Royals are, I don't know what the Royals stats are on that. I'm sure they've had a guy do that, but we keep talking about it. The Royals drafted pitching has not, at this point, borne any real fruit. I mean, Duffy's like the best you got so far, and he couldn't ever stay consistent or healthy.
No.
I think it was Barlow as well, but I feel like so many times I'm watching a game, Bod, where like yesterday there was a pitch where Melendez sets up the target on the inside corner, and Barlow throws a pitch that barely misses the outside corner. And Hud, you know, and I love Hud. Hud's trying to be positive. He goes, oh, that didn't miss by very much. But Melendez had to reach all the way across the plate to catch it. You're not – umpires are never going to give you the benefit of the doubt when you miss your own target by more than the width of
the
plate.
And the guy umpiring last night, he was given a ball off the plate.
Yeah, but not when you miss – when the target's inside.
If you're consistent, he's going to give you that all day long. But if you miss that by that much, you're not going to get that.
If you hit your target, they'll give it to you.
Command. It's all about command.
And it's just – that's what goes to show you, like – and there's no way Barlow meant to hang that curveball in the middle of the plate to Ohtani, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he had to have – he had – I don't remember.
Oh, I've done that before.
I mean, it happens.
It happens.
But like with this team, it just
– this is the wrong guy. You don't hang – you really got to really focus and concentrate when you get Trout, Ohtani. The rest of them, come on. I wouldn't worry about any of those guys, really. I mean, you can go right after him.
And I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know if it's the people that are bringing the guys up. Maybe it's not Cal Eldred's fault. Maybe it's just the guys they got. But I mean, hear J.J. Piccolo talking about, and rightfully so, how important strike one and strike two are. And the Royals are like dead last in first strike percentage. So, like, they're not telling them don't throw strikes early in the count. They're telling them to, but they're not doing – like, I don't know why. It's frustrating to watch these – so many guys on this team pitch, because if you just watch where their target
is, it almost seems like they're scared, because as a pitcher, the first pitch to a hitter, you take the plate and you do halves, inside half, outside half. You should be able to do that as a major league pitcher.
But how many times, Bob, do you see the Royals catchers have to reach?
I know, that's what I mean.
Like, it's not even close to the target.
I just wonder if when they get somebody, because I watched a lot of these kids that they drafted, that core group, in college, man, they were throwing strikes. Bang, 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 bang. Do they want more velocity? You need to get more velocity, and that will throw you way off.
So I got to throw harder because I'm playing in the big
leagues. Bluma said something. I can't remember if he said it on the air or off the air. So if he said it off the air, sorry, Bluma.
He just texted me.
Right, but he's like, you get to the point where you almost feel like you should tell him, go back to doing what you were doing that made you successful before you got here.
Exactly. They do the same thing to hitters a lot of times. Oh, you need to change this. Why don't you let him go until he fails and then change it? Don't change him right away, because what they do might be good enough, might be exactly what that's them. So don't change anybody until you see some failure. If they're not failing, don't change them.
Tell me what you think of Ohtani, because now we're going to see him pitch tonight. Just overall, because this is, you've seen a lot of baseball, you played a lot of baseball, you had Hall of Fame teammates. I mean, you.
I've never seen anything like this.
What would you even compare it to?
Babe Ruth. That's about it.
Well, did you?
I think I did play against Babe for a couple games.
You did okay against him.
Yeah.
But like maybe like, but who would you compare it to somebody that you played with or played against?
I can't, because he pitches.
Is there anyone that you think could have done it? That was a good enough athlete or good enough?
Ripken.
Really?
Ripken was drafted as a pitcher.
So he could have, you think he could have?
Oh, yeah. He had the best. When we got to rookie ball, he had the best stuff of anybody.
Oh, really?
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. By far. Yeah. Ripken could have done it. If anybody could have done it that I've seen.
How much did you see Bo?
I saw Bo quite a bit. I don't think he could have pitched.
No, but I mean, like athlete wise, we're just like making comparisons. To
athlete,
like what that was. He was a marvel because he could
was a
play.
Freak.
He could play baseball and football at such a high level and seemingly do whatever he wanted.
I got to watch Bo run sideways on the
right
on an outfield, and
oh, you were there for that.
I was blown away.
He
caught that thing in full stride, hit the wall, and just ran a Spider-Man'd it around the wall. I went, whoa.
But I've heard
I'll
some,
never see that again.
I've heard some people say, like, if he didn't hurt his hip and if he would have, these are hypotheticals, didn't hurt his hip and devoted himself to baseball, how good of a baseball player could he have been?
Hall of Fame.
That good?
Yeah. Yeah. He had the ability. He could hit a curveball, which that's one of the big things, you know. Most guys can hit a fastball.
Did he ever have his bow and arrow in the?
Oh yeah, he shoot 40, 50 yards in that. We had back before they redid the clubhouse. You could go from when you walked in all the way back to the laundry room. So he'd get there early and shoot, which scared the hell out of me because you've got clubhouse kids coming in and out of showers and
arrows would be flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever go bow hunting with him?
No, I've never been bow hunting with him, no.
Man, I bet that would be fun.
That would be fun.
Because you're a bow hunter.
Mm-hmm.
What other story do you have of Bo Jackson since we're talking about him? I bet Nate would like to hear one.
Oh, the only Bo Jackson thing is when he got the base hit right before George got up on his birthday, when I said happy birthday, George, when I was backing up the home plate. He got the base hit, knocked in a run. Now, Bo... when he hurt his hip, it made me sad because I really would have liked to see what this guy could have done through his career. When he went to the White Sox after he came back, and we went out to eat a couple times in Chicago when he was there, and just sat down. It was nice, you know, old teammate, and talk. But
he could have really been something.
Oh yeah.
With more opportunity to play baseball and.
Oh yeah.
To evolve as a baseball player, but, you know, the hip.
Bo was a freak athlete. Just totally freak. He was so strong. Oh, my gosh.
I've always heard, like, Dave Winfield was one of the greatest athletes ever.
There's another one that I played
great
against.
Great basketball player.
No, he was a great pitcher, too.
Yeah.
I watched him pitch against Iowa, at Iowa when I was younger. And I think he threw a two-hitter against us. And then hit two home runs, too, over the old field.
It was like baseball, football, basketball. He could have some people say he could have gone pro in any
of
those.
Any of them. Yeah.
Like Danny Ainge.
No, I played against Danny Ainge.
Mike says no.
But he was a multi-sport athlete, right?
I played against him when he was with Toronto. He was in Syracuse when I played against him.
But I'm just – okay, so – and I was – talking about this with Nate earlier, I heard people say, I know John Smoltz said this, well, he should just focus. If he could just focus on pitching, he'd be this or that or whatever else. Man.
He's good for the game. I'm sorry.
Why don't we just accept what he is?
Appreciate. And embrace
that. Appreciate. That's the word. Appreciate what he is.
I appreciate Ohtani because.
Can you put into words how difficult it is what he does? I can't even fathom.
I can't because hitting-wise, he's phenomenal. I mean, you saw what he did last night. But when he gets on the mound, it's like, golly, how do you do this? I mean, that's a freak. You just that's a once in 100-year deal. I can't even fathom that.
Well, just like in this 24-hour period, we're going to watch him.
Oh, he got eight RBIs last night, and he's going to pitch today.
Right. And we say that. We just got to say it. But also, I feel like we should stop and appreciate that.
I do.
And understand, like, this.
It just makes me sad to sit there and look. You got probably the best player in baseball for I don't know how many years, Mike Trout. Then you got this kid, Ohtani, who is just unbelievable. Great hitter, great pitcher. And they can't win. That team is bad.
Okay, so is it, and you guys tell me this, is it as simple as the Angels aren't in the postseason, so he can't be a huge star? Is it Major League Baseball not doing a good enough job of marketing their stars?
No, they've tried to market Trout. He doesn't want to be marketed.
Yeah, but Ohtani, because you've seen glimpses, he has a great personality.
Oh, a great personality, yeah.
He's got the looks. He's got everything. He's got something about him. He's got that it factor. And he does things that nobody else can do. And so
if he was with the Dodgers, it would be a whole different situation. Yeah, you go up to Anaheim, and it's all laid back, and people show up in the second inning and leave in the fifth. It's a outing.
But does baseball do a good enough job of promoting their stars, you think?
No.
Because I feel like
baseball does a bad job with everything.
That's like a gold mine for everyone.
Should be.
Yeah.
That's international stuff, too, when you're talking about Ohtani. That's not just United States.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a star in Japan.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you know, like in terms of everybody there knowing who he is and appreciating him and all that. But, I mean, it can't help being on a team that just doesn't win. You know, if you're on a team that wins.
That's exactly right. Well, you were talking about it yesterday, about who was it?
Oh, Jeter
with
the Royals.
Yeah, Jeter. Know? If Jeter was the Royals, he'd just been average.
But that's overstating it. But
it is overstating. NFL, but like, he would not get. Yeah. He would not got in the press. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have gotten.
Look where Barry Sanders was trapped.
Yeah, in Detroit.
He was a super duper star, and everyone recognized him as. But that's the NFL.
That's the NFL. You know, they promote their guys.
Yeah, but at the same time,
baseball just wants to make the game faster. That's all they care about. They don't.
And it's not even working.
Well, it's
not working.
This kid thought that the final score was 5-1. Look at him; he's so confused right now.
I do think that
it's a whole another ball game.
The ownership in baseball has been so concerned; it's almost like they're afraid if they make these guys too big of stars, they'll have to pay them more money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm serious about that. It's like, well, we don't want to get these guys too hyped up because then they'll, you know, we'll have to pay them.
Okay, and I asked this.
Good point.
When he first came to the major leagues, so first of all, you have to have guys that are able to do it, right? But there are players that come along that do both and can do both. And then what a major league baseball did, what organizations they shut it down.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you're one or the other.
I was one of those guys. I got drafted out of high school as a third baseman.
Were you good enough to play in the majors as a third baseman? You think?
Yeah, probably. But after 10 years or whatever it was of not hitting and then hitting in the World Series, it was like, I don't want to do this.
Do you wish that you could have had the opportunity to play both?
No. It's a grind. I don't know how Ohtani does it. It's a grind.
Do you think more teams should allow players to do that if they're capable?
Greinke wanted to. If they're capable... It's good for the game. I don't know how long their careers will last.
And we're talking just maybe a handful. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I would. There's a lot of guys. Generally, your pitchers are also play shortstop, and they're great athletes. I bet you Bobby Witt could pitch. I bet he could, Bobby Witt Jr.
Like, I bet this kid O'Neal Cruz, what did he have a.
97 mile per hour.
Yeah. The hardest sob any infielder so far this year. He's 6'7".
Yeah.
But he could probably do whatever he wants
on
the baseball field.
He probably could.
Do you ever have any regrets that you weren't, that do you wish you would have been a position player? Or were you always?
No regrets at all. I had a great career.
Who made the decision? Like, okay, here we go. You're going to be a pitcher, not a third baseman.
Well, I went end up going to college, and then I got drafted as a pitcher by Baltimore. And I was playing position at the University of Iowa. But, you know, I sat down with my college coach and my high school coach and a couple friends, and they said, we think your best bet is as a pitcher. And so people I trusted. And so I did not pursue to go on beyond that because I know Baltimore wanted me as a pitcher only. So, and then getting down there and watching Ripken throw, I was like, whoa, I'm a little outclassed here. he was that good. Oh, my goodness.
When did they decide to flip him then? If he was that good as a pitcher?
He wasn't that big. He was a skinny little runt. And I'm sitting there going, wow, why would you move him? And because they saw something, I think it was his old man, Cal Sr. decided.
I mean, good decision. I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah, real good decision. But you literally could have put Cal out there and he'd have fared very well pitching. Winfield, too, I think, could have.
A lot of people.
Paul Molitor.
Molitor, too?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I faced
pitcher?
Off. Yeah, I faced off up in, was it South Dakota, American Legion ball. And we went, what was it, 11 innings? And I beat him 1-0. He was good.
How many innings of those did you pitch?
We both pitched all of them.
Yeah,
we threw the whole game, yeah.
An 11-inning duel?
Yeah. He was nasty, yeah.
How'd your arm feel after that?
Fine.
Nothing wrong.
My arm never hurt, no.
What did you do to your arm after, like, what was your aftercare after a game like that? Yeah.
Well.
You rub anything on it? Or
no, actually, when I got done, they had a little tray there, pan. It was about, I don't know, 6-7 inches deep. It was full of ice and water. And then I'd put a sanitary sock on my arm, my elbow, and I'd set it in there. They'd put some ice on my shoulder, and then I'd sit 2 beers in the ice. And I'd sit there and talk to the trainers and drink my 2 beers, and then it was time to get my arm out.
That was your timer.
That was my timer, yeah.
What kind of beer are we talking about here back then?
It was Miller Lite.
Well, Miller Lite?
Yeah.
Okay. So 2 Miller Lights, and then you were done. How many pitches do you think you threw in that 11 inning? How many?
I don't know, 150,
60. Yeah, whatever. This guy's firing off 160 pitch complete games, and then icing your elbow with a couple of nice Miller Lights.
Well, that was
I like that.
That was in the big leagues. I did that.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah,
you know, maybe that's what did Tony Muser say one time? Enough of the milk and cookies. Maybe
these guys chewing on milk and cookies.
These guys need some tequila. Is that what we're talking? Do these guys need some more Miller Lite after their games or something? Or maybe before?
I don't know. I'm not in there. There might be guys who have a pop once in a while.
And so Nate does after the show. He has 2 Miller Lites and walks off.
That's not true.
Just crushed one.
Okay, what is it? Bud?
What is it?
Bud Light? Coors?
Shot of whiskey?
Yeah, it's 2 shots of whiskey.
He gargles whiskey in the morning instead of mouthwash just to get himself right. So he can rub
like
a baby rubs into his gums and make him stop crying.
Yes.
Yep.
That's how when they had when they're teething, you used to do that.
They did that to me. Yeah. And people wonder why I'm the way I am.
That's how it was, man.
My mom told me like we used to
home remedy.
Yeah, rub whiskey in their gums.
They used to rub whiskey on my gums.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Did it work?
I was a baby. I don't know.
I did it with my kids.
Based on how I am now, I don't think it worked very well. I think there's maybe some repercussions.
No.
Some side effects, maybe?
I think you're perfect just the way you are.
Right?
Yep. Oh, by the way, well, I texted you last night. Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes. I appreciate it. I was in the Elvis movie when you texted, so I was unable to respond.
Nice.
By the time I got there, it was too late.
That's good. That's good.
I'm glad now. I felt like I was on an island there with my with my grandma, grandpa rubbing whiskey on my gums.
They had the right idea.
You
acquire a taste then.
Yeah, I know, right?
At an early age,
I'd start crying when they stopped rubbing the whiskey.
My grandma used to give me coffee when I was 1 and 2 years old.
Yeah.
Now it's like 4 or 5 cups a day.
Nice hot bottle of coffee. What did they rub on you? On your gums?
It was vodka in our house.
Did they really?
Polish.
Yeah.
It's Polish.
Did they really
vodka,
rub vodka on your gums?
That's what I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who did?
Grandpa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Come here. Come here, baby.
Somebody get that kid to shut up.
Right.
Boy, that's me.
Hey, can we Marco, could you please go get a bottle of vodka and rub some on Nate's gums a little bit later on? We will
that
take
was all
a
set up, right. I get it
that's
now.
That's right. Mm-hmm. See? Back into this on WHB. Just talking about our great friends over at KC Grilling Company. KCGrillingCo.com. They are wonderful sponsors of Hot Mike with SSJ and also great partners with
Tell them what I got. Tell them what I
show.
Got.
Well, it's making me mad because I've been wanting one of these for... So I'm getting
I got it for Father's Day.
Well, you deserve it. You're a wonderful father. But I'm getting my smoker delivered. The things have just settled down around my house. But I've also got another smoker coming in here to the studio in about half an hour. But I have wanted one of these Blackstone flat grills.
That's what I got.
And I'm going to get one at some point. You got one at Casey Grilling Company, so it's...
Yeah.
It's everything that I believe it to be.
My son said it's the best burgers. He got one too, and it's the best burgers he's ever made or had.
I see everyone on Facebook and they're doing like kibachi.
And he had vegetables there.
All of it. Tacos. Let's go out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm getting one. So you love it, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So there should be no apprehension.
No. No, go out there and pick one up because it's unbelievable.
I'd like to apologize to Nate. Did you listen to the podcast, the last podcast of Jake and I?
No, I haven't listened to it.
Because then people, maybe I shouldn't apologize. Because I said that at KC Grilling Company, that the Nate Buchanan special is the bologna chub.
I didn't see that back in the
That's going
because
somebody went and bought it.
Oh,
went in there and...
I don't even really know what that is.
It's a big, like, 3 or 5 pound bologna chub.
Yeah.
Like a big, you know.
Yeah.
Look
and
at
you
me,
slice
like,
it up.
Like this, you know. Yeah. And you smoke it in your smoker, and then you eat it.
Oh.
Okay.
Smoke bologna. My dad loves bologna, you know.
I do, too.
So.
Me and your dad, we're like.
Oh, exactly. And so by me saying that, it sold out, and so now there's more bologna chub, but I didn't. Yeah, I attached your name to it, so.
It's a special.
I appreciate it.
And I said that you like to go out there once a week just to hold it. But that was wrong. So what's the, all right, Marco? Marco spit something up in there. But does that mean something to you that I attach your name to it and then somebody immediately went out there and bought it?
Sure, yeah. Well, that's fine. I'm not a bologna guy.
I love it.
Oh, I do too.
You're full of bologna.
Well,
for saying that.
That's probably true. Fair enough.
My dad always made me some bologna and some eggs. With a tortilla. Thank you very much. All right, so Bobby Witt Jr. He hit 2 home runs.
Yeah, he should have had a double. That ball, that second time up, that ball hit down the left field line. When he hit it, I said, "Oh, it's a double." And left fielder came out of nowhere and dove and caught it. But that was a rocket. I can't believe he got to that ball. I mean, he had a great night. He looked really comfortable at the plate.
What are you seeing from him? The last couple of weeks,
he seems calm. It's like the speed of the game is he's getting more accustomed to the speed of the game, where he's more relaxed and just using his many tools to play.
Was he pressing it all earlier?
I think he was a little bit. He seemed kind of apprehensive, antsy, like, okay, I need to do this. I need to do this. He doesn't need to do that. He just needs to be Bobby Witt Jr. and play, and all the great things will come out. And I think you're seeing it now. I mean, he's very impressive. Not just hitting, but in the field. He's never wavered in the field to me. I mean, he could have an offer, and he's still great in the field. He does not carry it out to the field with him if he has a bad night at the plate. And that's special.
We're not quite to halfway point of the season. 65 games. He has 251 at-bats. I mean, 10 homers, 10 steals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way he's hitting now, very easily, we could be talking about a 25-25 guy, or if he gets, you know, if he keeps rolling at this pace.
Oh, I expect...
You know, he'd be 30-30.
No, I expect him to hit 25 home runs. I really do. I mean, the first ball he hit, He took it to right center, and it wasn't even a pitch he should have taken to right center. His hands are that good. I mean, I was like, whoa, that was impressive, you know. So if he hits the ball all over the place, yeah, he's going to hit 25 home runs.
Is he a type of hitter that frustrates pitchers with
all
those
good,
hands.
All good hitters frustrate pitchers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you cannot make a mistake. Yeah. He's gonna
like,
hit better.
Like with Ohtani.
Oh,
can't
my
make
God.
A mistake
no,
like that.
Do not make a mistake. Ohtani got himself out the first time. I was like, what? He could have taken the walk. Trout could have taken the walk the time he struck out. It's like they were just so aggressive. They wanted to kill the ball. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know what, let's just back off and let him walk us. It's like, oh, no, here we go.
So, like, right now, Bobby Witt Jr., even though he's, you know, he struggled early on, he's on pace when the extra base hits. He's on pace for 39 doubles, 10 triples, and 24 homers, and 24 steals. I mean, that'll
not
play.
Not too shabby, is it?
Right. And but
you know what?
I think he's gonna surpass that pace because that's factoring in the slow start, right? And I think now these guys, and I think he's gonna have a hell of a second half.
Oh,
and so
too.
I think there. I mean, he may not get them. He can make a run at 30-30.
He's been notorious for a slow start.
Dud.
Yeah. I tell you what.
See, I guess I'll be excited about some things.
I'm impressed with Melendez too. Mm-hmm. He's swinging the bat good. I mean, he took an offer last night, and I'm sitting there going, that's a tough offer. Well, Benintendi, too. He hit the ball hard every time up, you know?
How concerned are you now about Salvador Perez?
Very.
He leaves re-aggravates that thumb.
He took that first swing when he heard it. I'm sorry. You're out. Nope. You're not swinging anymore.
That's scary.
And they let him swing, what, three more times? And it killed him. I'm going, what are you? Come on, people. Get him out of there. That's stupid.
Lynn Worthy tweeted after the game, Salvi left after having re-aggravated the thumb injury. He's staying earlier in the season. He's going to see a doctor today to find out where things go from here. He said if he was DH, he might have tried to stay in the game.
No.
Last night.
He was not going to hit with that unless he hits one-handed.
And then he's going,
and he's just going to keep making it worse and worse and worse.
Salvi said he's also going to have an MRI tomorrow.
Yeah, that's why I said once he swung, he fouled that ball off, and he went like that with his thumb. I'm going, get him out of there now. Do not let him swing again. And they let him strike out. It's like, oh boy, and it was ugly. Every swing after that was ugly. So. I don't know.
Sit him down until he's healthy. Let Melendez play. I mean, Melendez needs to grow.
Let him catch every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let him get some experience. Mm-hmm. Let him learn.
I mean, nobody wants to see Salvi get hurt.
Mm-mm.
We want to see him play every day. But with a thumb injury, if you have to shut him down for an extended amount of time, shut him down.
That's a great opportunity to do that and let Melendez catch every day.
So then here we go. Will they?
Because
what you know what'll make me scream?
Cam Gallagher.
A heavy dose of Cam Gallagher because he's back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
I don't know why. What's the big deal?
They can't do that, can they?
They radio in what the button to press. I mean, anybody can call a game because it's not. They just hear what they want to hear and then press the button. I mean, it's like that's. Stupid,
but if
stupid,
no, but if Salvi is out for an extended period of time, the silver lining there is give Melendez every day at bats and reps at catching.
Every day,
you know,
every day.
But do you think because wouldn't that piss everyone off? Do you think there's a chance like Cam Gallagher would like be like a 50-50 or he get most? You know
that would really. Aggravate me.
Is there any
reason?
If
you're going to develop a young catcher, he's got to catch every day. He's got to catch every day. Cam Gallagher is our backup catcher. Let him back up. Do not throw him in there. Give Melendez a day off every once in a blue moon.
Right.
And let Cam catch.
Right.
But Melendez has got to be behind the dish. He's got to be there every day. He's already proved he can go out and play the outfield a little bit if you need to. But he's got to be behind the dish.
But you could at least find out, you know, what you have there. If, like, Salvi's out for several weeks.
Yes.
You get a better indication.
I mean.
He's part of the future. Let them be part of the let them get playing time and be part of the future.
I mean, there is still development that can take place at the major league level. You know, it's just experience. You know, we're all distracted now.
Yeah, just walks right into his old office.
He's got a key.
Come here, say something.
You got
to
a
him.
Key?
Oh, boy.
We're almost out of time. Come in here and say something. People don't know.
I only got like 7 minutes left. Get in here.
What's happening?
Oh, Jesus.
What's going on, boys?
Oh, I'm bitching about everything like I always did.
Oh, I've been listening.
Talk to my... That is the sound of
that
Jake
melodious
Gutierrez.
Voice.
Good morning, Jake Kansas City. What's up?
Back in boy, studio.
Did you bring
right
me a book?
Ladies and gentlemen, Jake Gutierrez.
No, I turn into editor tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I'll get you a copy.
Tomorrow...
You're going to get you a copy.
Yeah, samuraiassoul.com, bod. Go check it out. You're
this,
all over
this
the
guy
web.
Comes in immediately and promoting within the first 20 seconds before
that.
He was saying anything.
No,
else.
I asked him about the book. I asked him about the book. That's my fault.
No,
I'm just okay. Let me. Do you believe that he's actually turning something into an editor
and a consultant?
Do you believe this is happening?
Is that the same person, like editor slash consultant?
No, I had two different people.
Did you consult with him?
I just had
this?
A podcast with you a week ago. I didn't know you didn't say nothing about a consultant.
Yeah, it's kind of a new acquisition on the team.
Okay, so on the team, Samurai of Soul.
Yeah,
Mike,
team SOS.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of lost here. I keep thinking that I'm going to take some bird dogs in there and see if I can get some quail
like
out of that beard of his. There's got to be quail in there. I'm telling you.
Did you hear who we got to write the foreword for his book?
Mm-mm.
Him.
Stephen King does it.
What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, you rank right up there with Stephen King.
What do you think about him writing his own foreword?
It's more of a preface than a foreword.
Did you hear who we got to read the book?
I didn't even know
book?
He was back in town.
Did you hear who we got to read the voice for the audio book? Him. Yeah.
So. Well, he's
cheap.
Him.
Right.
Come on, Bob. I'm not going to pay anybody.
Nate turned
to.
Him down, so now, you know, Nate's price is too high.
Well, Nate's too busy calling sporting. And
there was a
know.
Word limit. There was a word limit, he said. I'm riding your Ford. I got 8,000 words.
No. Right. What's up?
Do you
Bobby
think.
Witt,
so last night, Jake came out to the movies to celebrate the anniversary and to watch the Elvis premiere.
Elvis, yeah.
And,
really just to see Susan.
Right. Many people suggested, you guys tell me what you think, that Jake looks a little bit like the caddy from Happy Gilmore. What do you think of that?
you have one shoe on over here eating crackers. Geez,
yeah.
Marco's covering his. Marco, what do you think about that assessment? Yes or no?
I got to stop drinking my coffee.
Right.
When you're
he spit out his coffee four or five times.
That's twice
deal.
Today.
Can't hold his coffee.
This was a surprise for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Makes
Are
me
you
happy.
Surprised?
I'm very surprised. Are you shooting your bow?
Yeah, man. I actually
He showed me some pictures.
Yeah. It's not moving.
I pawned my block off because I couldn't fit it in the car for the ride back. I got to get a new target, but I'll just come shoot your deer.
Yeah, I got a brand new one behind the house.
I'm good, man. Okay. 25 in.
There you go. That's all you
I'm
need.
I'm in the death zone.
That's right. That's free meat.
The kill zone.
With the price of
when
meat
you
right
take
now.
Me when you take me down south.
When Anytime season. You want. You can. Farm's yours.
Poaching?
So I'm not letting this go. You're turning the book into the editor.
Yeah.
There's not going to be like another delay
no,
or like.
No,
oh,
that's
well,
why I
next
told
week
you
my consultant says no.
Thursday's
so now
busy.
What's the consultant do?
Kind of helps me. One, they're going to read it too. And then once I have it done edited, they're going to help me either decide what avenue I want to go in terms of self-publishing or finding a agent or just going straight to publish.
I got
publishers.
An agent for you.
Do you?
Yeah, I got a couple.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if I want
right.
Your old man's
now
agent.
Now, maybe. I got some people. I got a couple of people I could
is it Bambi?
Connect
yeah.
with.
Yeah, no, that's a
We're going to take a break
right,
now. As,
right by my shed.
As now Mike and Jake are going to share bow hunting stories on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez. We have Mike Boddicker. And we have... Jake Gutierrez, now joined by Gary Lezak. Hello, Gary.
Jake Gutierrez.
Yeah. Remember him?
Is he there?
It's just a cardboard cutout like of Kelce and Mahomes here.
What's up, Gary?
Wow, that's amazing. What?
What's up, buddy?
He's in studio?
I'm here, man.
I found out on my podcast, Hot Mic with SSJ, that Jake convinced you to retire. Is that true?
I did not say that, Gary. I told him we had some conversations, though.
Gary's writing a book.
Good. You've already written a book.
We'll have to do the tell-all book on tell-all story on the Stephen St. John podcast.
Please do. When are you going to come on the podcast, by the way?
I haven't been invited yet.
Well, you've been invited, actually. I'm inviting you
not
now.
Really.
It's kind of
really,
like I invited him to lunch, but he never can go. So
I can go. Let's
are you lunch. Sure you can? Because I heard you had a pulled hamstring. Didn't you pull your hamstring in Nashville or someplace?
Yeah, I was doing roundhouse kicks, and I spun around, and I hit a dove. That
Tell
was
him
by.
What you were doing.
What were you really doing?
Steven, tell them what I was doing.
He was walking and texting and not paying attention, and he ran into a bench. And that apparently,
I did not believe that.
That damaged his hamstring.
I don't believe it.
There's got to be surveillance video somewhere. I literally slammed into a bench. So.
That's what they call it.
That's what they call it.
Slamming into benches.
Marco,
hey, listen,
just to let you know, he's not doing the weather today.
Right.
Okay.
Are
you okay with that?
When does he ever?
I'm doing the weather today. I promise you I'm doing the weather. But by the way, what a game last night. I mean, the Royals haven't had a lot of highlights this year. Last night, Bobby Witt Jr. hits two home runs, goes 3 for 5, and one of his outs was an incredible catch. It could have gone for an inside-the-park home run if he misses that. So he should have been 4 for 5, of which Santana was 4 for 5, in which they got outshined by an Angel who had 8 RBIs last night, and they lost. You never should lose a game when someone gets 8 RBIs in a game, but they did because the Royals
Bad
won.
Pitching, Gary. Bad 12, pitching.
12 to 11, that's bad pitching?
You think?
Yeah, yes.
Or okay. great
hey,
hitting.
Boddicker,
Lezak.
I don't want the Sooners play today.
Oh,
the
that's Sooners. Right. Is Lebo going up for that?
He said he might go this weekend.
Oh, maybe he should FaceTime me when he gets up there.
Why don't you just go
with him? Aren't you retired?
What? I'm not retired yet.
No. Why'd you put it out there you retired?
Do you know what's amazing is that we talked about it yesterday, Boddicker. Yesterday, last night was the perfect prediction by the LRC of the return of the Lightning delay game out at Arrowhead Stadium when the Chiefs played the Bills. Remember, we're like in a 63 to 64 day cycle. 253 days ago, the Chiefs, the Bills, a Lightning delay. The Chiefs were sort of in a slump at that point, and the Lightning delay did not help them. They lost to the Bills, but that returned last night, and these thunderstorms came in and intensified right over the city. We had some rain. I don't know. Your house probably didn't get a lot of rain.
No, a quarter inch. That's it.
Yeah, it's raining there now, though, a little bit. So just you got a little bit of rain coming in. So, but it's better than nothing.
Why don't you go up to the College World Series?
Because I'm working.
What you call this?
Penner said last week he expects you to mail it in between now and December.
Yeah.
So why not?
I'm not capable of that. You know me.
I know that's what Penner said, though.
I love
Are you going to start working for a national weather broadcast?
We're creating one, Monica. We're creating
Okay. All right.
Yeah. You know, when you have something that, you know, when you predict hurricanes and tropical storms and lightning delay games that returned. This is extremely important technology we're bringing to the market.
Gary, we need a forecast. I got a deck to stain, man. I need it to be dry the next 2 days.
No, I want rain for the
is
farm.
Jake sitting there listening? Jake.
Yeah, what's up?
Can you believe it's 8 o'clock and I'm still talking?
Yes, I can. I'm glad I'm not Marco. You're screwed, dude. Your clock is wrecked.
I told Marco, I just shut it off. This
we're
just,
doing pretty good.
He's got all the controls. Just shut it off.
We're in Wichita
Marco
now, aren't we?
Marco told me I've got to 8:03, and I'm.
Oh, you're milking this for all it's worth, right?
Obliging.
But you're not doing a forecast, right?
I'm going to do a forecast.
No, you're not.
Tell us how much is going to cool off.
Right now it is raining over most of the city, very light up north, heavier down to the south. There's another area of rain out near Salina moving this way that could move in. So cloudy and much cooler today. Temperatures will be in the 80s. Yesterday was 96 degrees, so 85 today maybe. And then tomorrow 85, 86. Back up into the 90s, Friday into Saturday, and then Sunday in the 70s. And there is a chance of thunderstorms Friday or Saturday as that front comes through. Yeah, a pretty strong summer cold front. This is this year's LRC. It's not a long, hot, dry summer. Number one, how can it be a long, hot, dry summer? It's raining now, and it's cooler now. So there you go. On day two of summer, let's keep adding it up. But we'll have those ups and downs. So, hey, that's all I have. Sooners, go Sooners today, Boomer Sooner. And let's haven't lost yet. At the full series. So anything else? Jake, it's great to talk to you. I'm calling.
Call me. Let's go to lunch.
Yeah. No, he doesn't do that. Trust me.
Oh, he goes to lunch with me.
No, he might go with you, but he doesn't.
That's probably going to hook consultant.
No. You said that you pulled a hamstring, so I thought, okay, never mind.
Fine. Well, maybe next week. Let's get together.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready. I've been. You said June, and we're at the 22nd.
I'll get him to lunch for you, bud.
Thank you, Jake.
I coordinate this.
Hey, listen. Marco is saying 30 seconds. Jake, so I gotta get out of here.
Do you have a sponsor you have to throw to or something?
Actually, you're already 8:03. Let's go, Gary.
We have a really great sponsor. In fact, everyone should have this personal doctor. And it's Pro Partners Healthcare, great system. And here's Dr. Troy Burns.
Thanks, Gary. As you've known for years, Pro Partners is a different kind of family medicine practice that guarantees direct access to your personal physician literally anytime. If you want the peace of mind of having a doctor who's always available, give Pro Partners a call or check us out on the web at ProPartnersHealthcare.com.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Woo!